Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your high holy Sabbath day, your day of Yom Kippur, a day of covering, Father. We thank you for this offering, and we thank you, Father, for all those that gave, and we ask that you would bless those and touch each heart as we seek to draw closer to you this day, Father, as we humble our hearts before you, not only through fasting and prayer, Father, but we come before you with humbled hearts, seeking a blessing this day. We know, Father, that this is the day that determines our future. And we ask, Father, that you would have mercy upon each one of us, that you would forgive us for all the sins that we may have committed against you, and help us, Father, through the cleansing blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, our true high priest, who has come to not only has he offered himself as the Lamb of Yahweh, but he has come, Father, to enter into the Holy of Holies this day to confess each one of us before you, Father. And we ask that you would hear that confession, that you would keep each one of us, Father, who deserve the death penalty, that you would give us life, Father, instead of death, because of Yahshua, our great sacrifice, our advocate, and our high priest, that has come to be the atonement for each one of us. So again, Father, we come to you asking that not only would you bless us this day, but you would accept this offering that has been given at our hand for your honor and glory. We thank you again for our life, health, and strength, and for the opportunity to be here this day, giving glory and praise to you. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled, He Died for Me. Yahshua, our Savior, died for you and me, brethren. He lived the perfect life, overcoming sin and Satan the devil. His life was an example of how we should live, overcoming Satan as he tries to defeat us and tricking us as he did Eve and following him in Genesis 3:13-15. Yahshua's sacrifice defeated the tempter and released each one of us that has chosen him as our Savior. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3 for our opening scripture. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 13, it says, And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, What is this you have done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, he tricked me, and I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And verse 15, And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Yahshua's sacrifice defeated the tempter and released each one of us that has chosen him as our Savior. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll look at the law concerning this day. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll start in verse 26. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, On the 10th day of this 7th month is the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you, and you shall afflict your souls, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh, and you shall do no manner of work in the same day. For it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before Yahweh, your Elohim. For whatever soul it is that shall not be afflicted, and that same day he shall be cut off from his people. And whatever soul that does any manner of work in that same day, that soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your soul. In the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. So we see here, even in this passage, that it says, from evening to evening, you shall keep your Sabbath. A lot of people are responding, they're still in the Greek state of mind or Roman when it comes to the day. Our days start in the evening. He gives us our rest before we have to go out and do our work. Yahweh blesses us each and every day. He gives us the good things that he wants us to have. See, he didn't want us to know evil. This is why he didn't told them not to eat from that tree. Yet Satan got Eve tripped. She ate from the tree and gave to her husband. He ate as well. See, because we follow our wives, right? So you see here that what Yahweh is telling us to do, though, is to keep this day with affliction. And we afflict our souls by not doing something that we normally do at least three times a day. Most people eat three. Some eat more. See? So the key is that we are afflicting ourselves, taking something away from ourselves that we're used to, that we need. We need our daily sustenance. We need this to survive. Okay? So that's an important point to consider and to keep in mind. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 16, which is also the law. We'll start in verse 1. It says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before Yahweh and died. And Yahweh said to Moses, speak to Aaron, your brother, that he comes not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is above the ark, and that he does not die. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. With this Aaron shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have linen trousers on his flesh, and he shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. They are the holy garments, and he shall bathe his flesh in water and put them on. And he shall take off the, of the congregation of the children of Israel two he goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall present the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take two goats and set them before Yahweh at the door of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for Yahweh, and he shall offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be set alive before Yahweh to make atonement for him, to send him away for Azazel into the wilderness. Now, one of the things which I do have here, okay. That term Azazel it means scapegoat. We've been taught in the past that the scapegoat represented the devil. but it does not. These are twin goats, and the twin goats represent Yahshua the Messiah, the one that was killed, the sin offering, and the other one they tied a ribbon on. Okay? Now, they tied the ribbon on because he was carrying away the sins of the people. Yahshua carried away our sin. Now, he was led into the wilderness, and what happened later, as you get into the Talmud and a lot of the leaders of Judaism, they didn't want their goat to come back into the camp, so they would take him to a cliff and push him off the cliff, see, so that they made sure he died. And they would watch, and they would see that that red ribbon changed. It turned to white, so that the sins of the people were accepted by Yahweh on the Day of Atonement. Let's continue. In verse 11, and Aaron shall present the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from off the altar before Yahweh, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it inside the veil, inside the Holy of Holies. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Yahweh, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, that he does not die. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat and on the east. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people and bring his blood inside the veil and do with his blood as he did with the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And before the mercy seat he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And because of their transgressions, even all their sins, so shall he do for the tent of meeting that dwells with them in the middle of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tent of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before Yahweh and make atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it all around the horns of the altar. And he shall sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now the other thing that they did is they would tie a rope around the high priest's foot, his ankle, because if for some reason Yahweh did not accept that offering and the high priest was killed, he died there before Yahweh, they would pull him out. See, no man could go in there with him, only the high priest. So it's important that we understand that our high priest is Yahshua the Messiah. And he goes before Yahweh in that veil, the Holy of Holies, for us. His blood, not the blood of a goat, not the blood of a bull. But the blood of Yahshua is what cleansed us, each one of us that has entered into that covenant. Verse 20 of Leviticus 16. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, even all their sins, and he shall put them on the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a man that is in readiness into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear the iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. Verse 23. And Aaron shall come into the tent of the meeting, and shall put off the linen garments with which he put on when he went into the holy place. And he shall leave them there, And he shall bathe himself, bathe his flesh in water in the holy place, and put on his garments and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burnt on the altar. And he that lets the goat go for Azazel shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And the bullock of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. It shall be a statute forever to you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your soul. We're going to fast. And you shall do no manner of work, the homeborn or the stranger that sojourns among you, for on this day shall atonement be made for you, to cleanse you from all your sins shall you be clean before Yahweh. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you. You shall afflict your souls, it is a statute forever. And the priests who shall be anointed and who shall be consecrated to be priests in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen garments, even the holy garments. And he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be an everlasting statute. That means time out of mind. It's something that continues. To you, to make atonement for the children of Israel because of all their sins, once in a year, as he did, as Yahweh commanded. So this is not something that is repeated month after month. It's done once in the year, just like the Passover. And we know that before the Day of Atonement, just like before the Passover, we have to go, if we have a problem with our brother or sister, and confront them and let them know, hey, we need to get square. We need to get right before Yahweh. If I have something against you, I have to let you know. If I know you have something against me, I have to contact you and let you know, according to the word, so that we can get ourselves straight before Yahweh. People take these things too lightly, brethren, and we can't, because this is the day that we're sealed for that next year. See, those 10 days of awe starts with Yom Teruah, the day of trumpets, when that trumpet is being blown, that day of the blowing. That's to get our attention, to let us know that Yahweh is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to turn to him, to Shuvah, return, repent. That's what he wants. Now, during each of these days, we hear the trumpet sound. We, again, look to return. We look at ourselves in that mirror and say, have I done everything I need to do to get closer to Yahweh? See, when we've accepted Yahshua's shed blood, it's a once and done thing. We don't keep doing it. We don't sacrifice Yahshua every day. They did this often with the bulls and goats. They would do it as often as they recognized their sin. But with Yahshua, it's once and done. His sacrifice cleanses our sins, not only from our past today, but we can't keep going back to those same sins, because then we're treading underfoot the blood of Yahshua. It gets to a point where it becomes routine, and then we get hardened and thick-skinned, and we no longer can go before Yahweh and ask Yahweh for forgiveness because we're doing the same thing over and over again. It has to come to a point where we realize that we can no longer sin against Almighty Yahweh, because we have a Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. In Zechariah chapter 8, turn over there with me. Zechariah chapter 8. Starting in verse 14. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, as I thought to do evil to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says Yahweh of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And that word Yehuda means the worshiper of Yahweh. Do not fear. These are the things that you shall do. Seek you every man the truth with his neighbor. Execute judgment of truth and peace in your gates, where you live. And let none of you devise evil in your hearts against your neighbors. And love no false oath. For all these things that I hate are things that I hate, says Yahweh. Verse 18, and the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, in this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Thereover love, truth, and peace. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come peoples, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of Yahweh, and to seek Yahweh of hosts. I will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem, and to entreat the favor of Yahweh. We see that in Micah chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 2. In this manner, says Yahweh of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold. Out of all the languages of the nation, they shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a worshiper of Yahweh, Yahudim, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Elohim is with you. And these 10 men represent the 10 tribes of Israel that have gone into idolatry, who are coming back to Yahweh. They represent those who are coming back to worship Almighty Yahweh. Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to start in 13b. Hebrews chapter 2. Second part of verse 13. Behold, I and the children whom Yahweh has given me, since the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also in the same manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to nothing him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And most men are just that, subject to that bondage. They're worried about the day of death. But Yahshua has delivered us from that. Verse 16, for truly, not to angels does he give help, but he gives help to the seed of Abraham. Therefore it behooved him in all things to be made like his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Elohim, to make propitiation, atonement for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. And truly, Yahshua was tempted in all things, in all ways. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 11. try this. Let's go over to 2 Peter. Nope, I'm sorry, it is 1 Peter, chapter 2. Verse 11. Beloved, I entreat you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that in what they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they behold, glorify Yahweh in the day of visitation. We know that today is one of those days of visitation. It's the day that we are presented before Yahweh. Verse 13, be subject to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers and praise for them that do well. For so is the will of Yahweh, that by well-doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, and not using your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as bondservants of Yahweh. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, and honor the king. Servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is acceptable, if for conscience toward Yahweh a man endures griefs, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you sin you are buffeted? You're corrected. You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with Yahweh. For to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffering for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Truly, Almighty Yahweh has called us out of this world into his marvelous light, into his kingdom. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Romans 3, 9. What then, are we better than they are? No, in no wise, for we were all under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous, no, not one. There are none that understand. There are none that seek Elohim. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There are none that do good, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. Now we know that whatever things the law says, it speaks to them that are under the law, the penalty of the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be brought under the judgment of Yahweh. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now apart from the law, a righteousness of Yahweh has been manifested. Now, when you look at this law, the Bible speaks about different laws at different times. This is speaking of the oral law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of Yahweh through faith in Yahshua the Messiah to all them that believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. That's every one of us, brethren. But see, what you have to understand is that, I heard this the other day, I think it was on, matter of fact, it was on Facebook. I saw it. Keith Johnson. He's a minister that is with Nehemiah Gordon, and they do a lot together. And he made a statement about them coming down, speaking of the Messianics, coming down on the Christians because of their acknowledgement of the church and adhering to the things that they have been taught. Yet he says the Messianics are doing the same things with the leadership of Judaism. See? Not one is better than the other. They're saying, well, we have more truth. We have this, and they don't call him Yahshua. They call him Yeshua. See? So they're following after the traditions of the elders, the Talmud. And one is no better than the other. Because once you understand what the Talmud and what they are teaching and what Yahshua was up against, what he was dealing with, he was showing that there was a difference between the worship of Yahweh and the worship that they had. See, he told them in Matthew 23, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Do as they say, not as they do, because they were hypocrites. But as we look into the word, you'll see that it gets a little deeper. And Yahshua picked it up. He understood when they all came at him. And when you see in the scriptures where it talks about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the scribes, and all these different groups, when they came to Yahshua, they all came trying him. They all came trying him. Who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan the devil. And see, when we come together, we can't be pointing fingers at one another, accusing one another. All we can do, if we're sincere, is try to lift each other up. We lift each other up through praise. We lift each other up through the law of Yahweh by trying to rebuke and exhort, not trying to tear down. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Yahweh. That doesn't mean that this person over here hasn't done it. It's, or me or anybody else. All of us. This is what it says. All have sinned, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Messiah Yahshua, whom Yahweh set forth to be a propitiation and atonement through faith in his blood, to show his righteousness because of the passing over of the sins formerly committed in the forbearance of Yahweh. See, our past is still in our past, brethren, but our future is in the hand of Yahweh if we so desire to be in that kingdom. All we have to do is repent. Verse 26, for the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that has faith in Yahshua. Where then is the glory in? It is excluded. By what manner of law? Of works? No, by a law of faith. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. For is Yahweh the Elohim of the Jews only? Is he not the Elohim of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, if so be that Yahweh is one, which we say the Shema at least twice a day, and Yahweh is one. And he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Circumcision being the Jews, uncircumcision being the Gentiles. But we're all supposed to be one. We're not supposed to be different. You understand? Yahweh brought us together to be one. We don't look upon one another and say, oh, you can't partake of this covenant because you're uncircumcised. You're a Gentile. You understand? He made them null and void. Neither one makes a difference. Yahshua is all in all. We have to be one in Yahshua to be able to be and partake of that kingdom which is soon to come upon this earth. Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and Yahshua the Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." See, it's for the whole world as well, brethren. "And by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. And truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of Yahweh has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. He that says he remains in him ought himself also to walk even as he has walked." Drop down to verse 15. Verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And those three things, brethren, we cannot have. We have to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Yahshua overcame all three of those. Satan was trying to tempt him in Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, "Yahshua was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered." He had fasted. He was in a weakened state. And that's when the devil came to him and tempted him and said, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh." So Satan tempted him with the lust of the flesh. He tried to give him, okay, you're hungry, make these stones bread, feed yourself. But Yahshua couldn't be tempted with the flesh because he wasn't concerned about himself. He wasn't concerned about that which was of the world. Then the devil takes him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and says to him, "If you are the Son of Yahweh, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you." But Yahshua wasn't concerned with that as well. See, he knew if he cast himself off, the angels could. But he would have been doing it for what? For himself? To show off? You understand? He was serving Yahweh. See? So he responded. Yahshua said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not make trial of Yahweh, your Elohim." Now, that goat, Azazel, was taken to the edge of the cliff, like when they were in Capernaum. They tried to throw Yahshua down headlong. The same thing. Satan the devil wanted him to do, wanted him to be the goat right there. Take those sins and go over. You understand? But Yahshua wouldn't do it because he knew that he was not going to submit to the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the vainglory of this life. Too often, too many of us are trapped in those things. But Yahshua overcame every one of them. In verse 8, and again the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Again, lust of the flesh. You know, too many people give in to the lust of the flesh because Satan offers them all these things. If you will only worship me. But Yahshua said, get you hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh, your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. He had fasted for 40 days. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7. Yahshua did something for us that no one else has ever done. He laid down his life for us. He shed every drop of his blood. He became our sacrificial lamb. He became our atonement sacrifice. In verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yahweh. And everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He that loves not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. And this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We have to have that relationship with him that we understand what Yahshua came to do for us, brethren. He came to give us an example of how we should live our lives, of how we should love our brethren. Verse 10, this is love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the atonement for us. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. When do we receive his Spirit? We receive his Spirit at baptism, brethren. We get that down payment of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be resurrected if something happens to us before Yahshua returns. And even with that Holy Spirit, when he calls us up with that high calling, that election, come up here, we can go. We can rise up to meet him in the air. Verse 14, it says, and we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Not just for each one of us, but for everyone. Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him, and he in Elohim. And we know and have believed the love which Yahweh has in us. Yahweh is love, brethren. And he that lives in love lives in Yahweh, and Yahweh lives in him. And this is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. We have to be a reflection of Yahshua in this world. So when people see us, they're seeing the Savior. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. And most people who fear have something to hide. They're running away for a reason. They are not at one with Yahweh, because they have not given themselves over to Yahshua the Messiah. When you give yourself over to Yahshua, you don't have to worry about anything out there. You don't have to worry about the breaking and the stealing of somebody taking your life. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that does not love his brother whom he has seen, that's anybody. When he's talking about brother, he's talking about anybody. Cannot love Yahweh whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves Yahweh loves his brother also. It's important that we understand that we have to overcome this life, and we can do it through Yahshua the Messiah. And we overcome it by not giving in to the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the vainglory of life. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And we start in verse 10. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. We should have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? He's talking to Israel. He's not talking to Sodom. He's not talking to Gomorrah, those cities of the plains that were destroyed. He's talking to Israel. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says Yahweh. I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more vain. Doesn't say bring no more oblations, no more offerings. It says bring no more vain oblation. Incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity, sin, along with the solemn meeting. Your new moon and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Yahweh will not hear the prayer of sinners, brethren. He's going to hear the prayers of those who have repented. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are as scarlet, they're red. They shall be white as snow. Though they are like crimson, they shall be as wool. When that red tie was around that goat Azazel, and he was pushed to his death, they said you would see it turn to white when the goat died. We know that Yahshua can cleanse our sins and turn them from red to white. Because he's the one, he's the Lamb of Yahweh. He is our atonement sacrifice. Verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 11, Hebrews 9:11. But the Messiah, having come, a high priest, for the good things to come, through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, nor yet through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, entered in once for all, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption or if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling them that have been defiled sanctified to the cleanness of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to Yahweh? Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. And for this cause, he is a meditator, the meditator, mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they that have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is the force where there has been death. For it does never avail while he that made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant has not been dedicated without blood. For when every commandment has been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh commanded towards you." Moreover, the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry he sprinkled in like manner with the blood. And according to the law, I may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and apart from shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. For us to become perfected forever, we have to have forgiveness, brethren. Turn over to Hebrews 7. Hebrews chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 11. Now, if there was perfection through the Levitical priesthood, for under it have the people received the law, further need was there for another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be reckoned after the order of Aaron. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity of a change of the law also. For he of whom these things are said belongs to another tribe, from which no man has given attendance at the altar, because it was the Levites that attended to the altar. It was the Levites that handled all the sacrifices. But now there's another tribe, the tribe of Yehuda, those the worshipers of Yahweh, those who praise Yahweh. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Savior has sprung out of Judah, as to which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. And what we say is yet more abundantly evident, if after the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest, who has been made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, as it says in Psalm 110, verse 4. For there is a disannulling of foregoing commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect, and a bringing in upon it of a better hope, through which we draw near to Yahweh. And inasmuch as it is not without the taking of an oath, for they indeed have been made priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him that says of him, Yahweh swore and will not repent himself, you are a priest forever. By so much also has Yahshua become a surety of a better covenant, and they indeed have been made priests many in number, because that by death they are hindered from continuing. But he, because he remains forever, has his unchangeable priesthood. Therefore he is also able to save to the utmost them that draw near to Yahweh through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercessions for them. So Yahshua, because he is Melchizedek, can continually come before Yahweh for us. Verse 26, for such a high priest became us, holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily, like those high priests in the past, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, as we saw back in Leviticus 16, which Aaron, the high priest, had to do. For this he did once for all, and when he offered up himself, for the law appoints men high priests having infirmity. But this, the word of the oath, which was after the law, appoints a son perfected forevermore. Yahshua the Messiah, he died for me. He died for you as well, brethren. He lived a perfect life, overcoming sin and Satan the devil. He overcame death, which is the last enemy that we have. And we can overcome it as well through Yahshua the Messiah and his great sacrifice. But we have to accept his sacrifice for each and every one of us. We have to choose Yahshua so that Yahweh will stamp us and seal us, approve this day for another year, as we go forth to serve him and go to the kingdom, the type being the Feast of Tabernacles. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you accept Yahshua's sacrifice for each and every one of our sins. If you'd all please rise at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We thank you and praise you, Father, for sending us your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, the one true sacrifice, the one who shed blood, overcomes each and every one of our sins. Help us, Father, as we draw closer to you through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, as we accept his great sacrifice, let us be sinless, sin-free, as we joyfully go forth from this place to keep your feast that you've commanded us to keep in the seventh month with joy, Father, that we can rejoice before you and give glory to your holy name. We thank you again, Father, for all that you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. Truly touch our bodies and touch our spirit as we seek to be at one with you this day. Again, forgive us for any sins that we may have committed against you. And we ask, Father, that you would continue to touch our hearts and cause each one of us to show that love one toward another as Yahshua showed toward us. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Our closing song is going to be number 33, Holy Love.